Checklist from Jesus to my friends. Can you take care of these things, please? When we get near Bethphage at Bethany, go to the village and borrow an unridden colt. If anyone questions you, just tell them the Lord needs it. Bring the colt to me near the Mount of Olives. Then put your cloaks on the colt and help me up. I know it's small, just work with me here. When we get to the path down from the mount, start cheering and shouting, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Keep cheering even when the religious leaders tell you to stop. I'll tell the religious leaders that silence isn't an option for you and for all the people. Thanks. Now, Jerusalem and Jesus together. Jesus's Jerusalem trip plan. Pilate and all the Roman soldiers will be marching on the other side of town. They'll be riding horses. The people will be required to shout something like, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," as they march into town as warriors to keep the peace. I'm going to do the opposite from the other side of town. Not a war horse, but a donkey colt. I can get one just by having my disciples go into town and say, "The Lord needs this." They're used to being pushed around by Caesar, by all of the warriors. So if somebody says, "The Lord needs this," nobody will question it. Make sure you give the colt back later, however. I'd hate for this to be known as the time Jesus stole a donkey Sunday. I'm going to come to town as the King of Peace, not of war. Have some of the disciples spread their cloaks on the colt and start shouting as soon as we get to the path down from the mount. And come into town as the people shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Come in humbly as they spread their cloaks on the ground in front of me. If there are any palms waving, someone else will have to write about that later. See, palms aren't actually mentioned in Luke or Matthew or Mark. They're only in John. And so one of these Palm Sundays, when we read the account from John, we'll talk about the palms. But for now, we just wave the palms and remember that most of the Gospels say cloaks and not palms. When the religious leaders get worried that our parade is going to overshadow Pilate's parade, they'll want us to quiet down. That will make us cheer ever louder. I'll say something about stone shouting. It'll probably be the kind of thing people write songs about in the future. And so, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem went according to plan. Not my little to-do list plan, but according to God's plan. And God's plan works like this. It turns things upside down. Maybe you've heard me say that before. It does other things too. God's plan goes against conventional wisdom. Hide out because people are going to try and get you. That'd be conventional wisdom. God's plan turns things completely on their ears. And it always, really, God's plan always goes against conventional wisdom. Think of what is the responsible and right thing to do, and God's plan is likely not that. It's hard when you're a church and you want to make responsible decisions about things and God's plan is, no. I want you to be reckless. I want you to do stuff that doesn't make any sense. I want you to do stuff that's going to make a difference in the world and that doesn't make any sound real sense. You know, the rest of Jesus' week followed the same theme. Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the opposite side of town, doing essentially, Jesus did a mockery of Rome when he came in. He was making fun of Pilate. He was making fun of Caesar. He was making fun of the warriors. We can look at it as just a counterpoint of the alternative, but Jesus was doing sort of the clown's parade with all the people who never got the parade. They didn't get to see the beginnings of it. They didn't get to see all of the people waving cloaks and everything. And he came in on the wrong kind of animal, with the wrong kind of attitude, to say, I'm the one about peace. And when Jesus came into town, it really angered the powers that be. It angered the Pharisees. It angered Pilate. It angered the soldiers because they heard about it. Jesus came in to turn things upside down, and he certainly did. Listen to the rest of the week. We'll get to hear this on a bit on Maundy Thursday and on Good Friday. So I hope that you'll come to that. But here's just a sort of a nutshell. We're going to go through it in nothing flat, and I'm sure you'll remember because there will be a quiz. Not yet, but you know, in 10 or 12 years when you're going to try and remember. So here's the rest of the week. After riding into town, Jesus lamented that Jerusalem didn't know him when he arrived. Then he went to the temple. Remember what he did there? He got angry. Said it was like a den of thieves. And he flipped over a bunch of tables. And after making the religious leaders good and mad, and even more angry than they were from the mockery of a parade, so that they'd plot against him, of course, Jesus began to talk and to teach. The religious leaders would question him, and then Jesus would tell parables. More questions would come. Some of them were actually quite angry. Some of them were designed to trip Jesus up. And Jesus kept talking and teaching. He condemned hypocrisy and warned of tough times ahead. He didn't praise power at all. He spoke harshly about those who abused power. He spoke compassionately to the poor and the outcast. Judas plotted to betray Jesus. Some say it was because he was a horrible person. I think maybe Judas really didn't like the whole King of Peace thing because his Messiah wasn't supposed to be the one that turned things upside down. It was supposed to be the one that came in and took over. He wanted someone who would be king of war. He wanted Jesus to be that king. So by betraying him, he probably thought he was forcing Jesus to show his warrior self. Well, if he's in jail, he's going to have to come out. He's going to have to take over. Well, things didn't work out that way. Then the disciples gathered to celebrate Passover with Jesus, the Last Supper. And during the meal, Jesus instituted to them what we still celebrate in Holy Communion. And Judas left. And Jesus told Peter that Peter would deny him three times before the morning. Peter swore it wouldn't happen, and it did. Jesus went to the garden to pray. He prayed that maybe he didn't have to go through this. The waiting disciples fell asleep. Judas came to the garden with the religious leaders and the temple guards. Judas kissed Jesus, and then the guards arrested Jesus. Peter tried to defend Jesus, even cut off the ear of one of the guards. And what did Jesus do? He fixed the ear. Whoop, all better. Soldiers took Jesus to the home of the high priest. Peter followed, but when confronted by the people nearby as one of Jesus' followers, he denied it three times. The chief priests and the scribes interrogated Jesus, and they beat him. Pilate interrogated Jesus, saw no reason to hold him, but sent him to Herod at the insistence of the religious leaders. Herod and his soldiers interrogated and mocked Jesus, and then sent him back to Pilate. Pilate still saw no reason to further hold Jesus. He tried to release him. Instead, the crowd demanded that they release Barabbas, a murderer and an insurrectionist. They made Simon of Cyrene carry Jesus' cross. Cyrene is in Africa. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem again. And then Jesus was crucified with two thieves. The crowd mocked Jesus on the cross. One of the thieves was angry and wanted Jesus to save them. The other asked Jesus to remember him. Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It got dark at noon, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And Jesus cried out. He said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirits." And then he died. That's the last week. God's way in the last week of Jesus' life, seems upside down. This isn't the way it's supposed to go. We know it's the way it went, but it doesn't seem to be right. God's way in the last week of Jesus' life doesn't match conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom would be Jesus took over, got everything right. Because God's way turns things upside down. And God's way goes against conventional wisdom. And we continue our Holy Week celebrations and our preparations. Amen.